Welcome to this message share ministry of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. I am Rick Waltz, the pastor and an elder. Our topic today is Continually With Thee from Psalm 73, verses 21 through 26. In this present situation, many people are deeply disturbed, scared, and wondering what the future will hold. But we are not to exist in a state of fear. The Lord has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. The hymn is 433. I've found a friend, oh, such a friend. The psalmist tells us that Jesus Christ is the one who sticks closer than a brother. He's with us in the good times as well as in the bad times. And thus, in the hour of trial, Jesus plead for me. He will be our intercessor. He will be our mediator. He will be our ever-present help in times of danger. The hymn is 475. The Lord has promised to be with His people, and this unites the people of God in a fellowship one with another. Blessed be the tie that binds. He indwells all of His people with the presence of His Holy Spirit, and He encourages us through the encouragement of His Word and through the encouragement of the brethren. The hymn is 285, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Our passage today is Psalm 73, verses 21 through 26.
Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength, the strength of my heart, and my portion forever.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that you give us through the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would illuminate our path and encourage us even in these dark days in which we live. We thank you and praise you, for you are the one who sticks closer than a brother. We pray that you would meet the needs of each one in our midst, as well as your people around the world, especially those who are persecuted for their faith, that you would encourage them, that you would protect them, and that you would let them know that you are near and that you hear and answer the needs and the petitions of your people. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we turn to Psalm 73 today, we commemorate a date in history. The date was May the 2nd, 1982. This was the date on which a Chinese Baptist preacher by the name of Lin Zhanggao was arrested. He's known to many Westerners as Samuel Lamb. But he was born in 1924 in China, in Macau, the son of a Baptist preacher. He came to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and was himself called to preach. He preached his first sermon at age 19, shortly before Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution. And almost immediately he came under the persecution by the communist Chinese government. He was arrested and jailed for 18 months. Shortly thereafter, he resumed his preaching. He became an enemy of the state, who rejected his nonconformist biblical views. The state church, the authorized church, rejected the authority of the Word of God. They rejected the virgin birth and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they also prohibited the instruction of children in religious matters. All of these things were viewed by Pastor Lin as biblical mandates, and he refused to compromise. In 1958, he was jailed again and given a 20-year sentence for his refusal to adhere to the demands for concessions by the Chinese communist government. He labored long in the coal mines, working underground, coupling coal cars in very dangerous situations that killed many fellow prisoners. But during his 20 years of imprisonment, he led many political prisoners and religious prisoners to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to a renewed faith and a strengthened faith in Christ. 1 year before his release, his wife died, but he was not permitted to attend her funeral. In 1979, he was released, and he immediately formed a house church. He operated with some harassment by the Chinese government, but for the most part, they kept him under surveillance without further arrest for a time. Soon, however, the church in his home grew to a complex of numerous buildings, often gathering between 4,000 and 5,000 people in several meetings throughout the course of a week. This drew the attention of the Chinese government, particularly as he was also a distribution point for Bibles and other biblical literature printed in Chinese. In 1982, on May 2nd, he was rearrested. And this term of imprisonment lasted relatively short time compared to his previous 20-year sentence. And again, he was freed. He continued to preach faithfully well into his 80s. And in at age 88, in the year 2013, he went to be with the Lord. Thus we remember the faithful ministry and the defense of his faith by Pastor Lin Xing Gao. Our topic this morning is Continually With Thee. And this is a timely message, given the days in which we live. We continue the period of isolation during this pandemic, which is sweeping the world. And it is our hope and our prayer to resume fellowship and worship in person among the local assembly next Lord's Day on May 10th. But this particular passage was at a low point in the life of the psalmist, a time in which he experienced great darkness, depression, even at times despair. This particular Psalm of Asaph is a timely encouragement for us, as it was for his life at that time. Like many of David's psalms, this particular psalm opens with the lament of the current situation and the inability to resolve the matter in human terms. But like most of David's psalms, this particular psalm also refocuses upon the spiritual reality, the so-called bigger picture, in which when we have God's perspective, the present realities, in the words of the Apostle Paul, seem only as a temporary inconvenience. In verse 21, the psalmist notes that his heart was grieved and he was pricked to the reins. This grieving of heart, the despair, the discouragement, the condition of being distraught at the situation in which he found himself, is much like the uncertainty, the interruption in the daily life and the ability to earn incomes, the threat of death and disease, the complete uncertainty of the world around us. This was true in the psalmist's day as it is in our day, even as Solomon observed in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. We live in a fallen world, and though there are always for all times of good and times of pleasure, times of ease, likewise, in the lives of all, there are times of difficulty and temptation and discouragement and danger and disease and death. And thus, we can look to this psalm to find hope and encouragement in the Lord, even as the psalmist did. It says that he was pricked in the reins. Lamentations 3:13 speaks of that kind of piercing pain, the agony, the difficulty of the present situation, in that it speaks of an arrow shot into his heart. Other translations render it in the Hebrew, shot in the kidneys or in the seat of the emotions. And this is a illustration of the deep piercing pain, the uncertainty, the doubt and the worry that comes through being influenced by our external situations, by the world around us, by the situations and the struggles in which we find ourselves. And this was the condition of the psalmist. It's the condition of many people today who've had their livelihoods interrupted. They've had their businesses closed. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their ability to travel freely or to engage in the daily routines in which they've become so accustomed throughout their lives. And yet, this time of uncertainty, this time of despair, can be used by God to refocus us, to redirect us in the path that we should walk. It is a reminder to us of the necessity of serving God at all times, in all circumstances, whatever the cost. In verse 22, he says that he was foolish, that he was even as a dumb animal, the likening of an animal-like condition. Animals have a tendency to be focused on the here and now. But the spiritual outlook of man, the highest creation of the Lord, is a reminder to us that we should not be as the brutes, as the animals. We should not focus on the daily and the here and now, but our focus should be an eternal one. And therefore, the lesson, the instruction, the exhortation to the people of God is that we rise above the condition of the animals. We should not be so foolish to think that everything is tied to our present situations, or to think that our condition is so bad that God cannot hear us and will not hear us. Deuteronomy 14, verse 6, reminds us, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, reminds us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this same encouragement, this same truth, this same divine promise is given to us again in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where again he says, he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's the same truth that the psalmist noted in psalms such as this, or as Solomon noted in his familiar proverb, chapter 18, verse 24, that the Lord is one who sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible reminds us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will remain with us continually, even to the end of the age. And thus there is great hope and encouragement for the people of God, even in the darkest times, even in the times when we think that there is no hope. Paul reminded us in Romans that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose in allowing all of the events in our lives, even as He allowed the sufferings of Job. And yet Job was able to say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he came to the realization that even if the Lord should slay him, he had the faith to know that yet he should see his Redeemer in the flesh. The promises in the Word of God should be sufficient to encourage us, to give us hope in the midst of the darkest times, in the worst of experiences, in the most bitter sufferings and persecutions, in the greatest pain and sickness, even in physical death. The Lord promises to be with us, to encourage us. And here we have this realization. Nevertheless, despite all of these problems, despite all of the discouragement, the suffering and the pain and the uncertainty, the darkest of times, nevertheless, he was resolved to keep the faith, to realize the promise of God. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. And this is a reminder to us that our current situation, our current circumstances cannot separate us from God and His will for our lives. Paul, again, in Romans, has that familiar list of all the things that cannot separate us from the love of God, whether they be present dangers or sufferings or troubles or spiritual enemies or even death itself. None of these things can separate us from the love of God. He will accomplish His purpose in our lives. And he says here, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." A reminder that God has promised to hold our hand, to guide us through the difficulties in which we live, to lead us through troubles, and to deliver us safely through. The holding of the right hand, this is the hand of power. He will give us strength. He will give us the ability to navigate in the uncertain times, in the dark times. He will be our guide. The scripture reminds us that He has gone before us. We're to follow after Him. We're to look to the heavenly city and not the darkness of the clouds around us or the storms that rage in our midst. We are to look heavenward, to realize that God has an eternal perspective that is not limited by our present time and our present circumstances. He will accomplish His purpose. He will do all things for His glory and ultimately for our good. And thus, the resolution, the commitment of faith, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." And this could echo the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, who has promised to be ever with us. When He was preparing to ascend to His heavenly throne, the Lord reminded His disciples that they should not fear, they should not be distraught, that He would send them another Comforter, the Holy Spirit Himself, who would indwell us and seal us and protect us and teach us all things. And this is the presence of the Lord in the midst of His people, even to this day, and for as long as the Lord shall tarry. We need not fear that God will depart from us. He will remain ever with us. And thus we can have the boldness and the confidence, the realization to know that He is continually with us. And not just collectively, but this psalmist says, I will be with thee. This was his personal claim. This was not just a collective group identity of an association with Christ or a familiarity with God. This was a personal relationship that the psalmist had, and it's a personal relationship that every Christian can have in the midst of our troubles. Even when we may feel alone in this world, we have the assurance of God Himself that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will never leave us nor forsake us. And thus, He has promised to be continually with us, to hold us by our right hand, to give us power and strength and endurance in all of our difficulties, in all of our trials and tribulations, in whatever suffering we may be called to endure. He will give us strength. He will lead us safely through. He also resolves here to depend upon the instruction of the Word of God. The realization that we can find hope and confidence and boldness, peace in the midst of our situations by remembering His Word, by prayerful meditation upon the revealed Word of God. He will guide us and He will lead us through a familiarity with His Word, through the experiences of the faithful people of the past, through the accounts of other believers in history, and even in our own midst. We can receive hope and encouragement and guidance in how to respond to the situations which we face and in which we find ourselves. God is ever faithful, and He will remain constantly with His people. It says that as we receive guidance from His Word, from His instruction to us, and afterward, He will receive us into glory. In the midst of our struggles, we thus have the eternal hope, not merely a ability to persevere in our present situations, or somehow to just simply get through it in our present life, but afterwards we shall be received into glory. And thus the refining process. The hymn writer says that it is his purpose, our dross to consume and our gold to refine. And this illustration is mentioned throughout the scriptures, the refining fire of the trials and the tribulations, the sufferings of God's people. It is not merely for a vindictiveness or a condescending treatment by a powerful God. These things are permitted in the lives of God's people that we might be refined, that we might be strengthened, that we might put off the old nature and put on the new, and thus that we might be fit for heaven, that we might be prepared for that great day when we are either called home or when he returns in glory and in judgment. And thus, the purpose of God, the providence of God, is revealed in the experiences which He allows in the lives of His people. This then gives us the confidence, the boldness, to go to the throne of grace in our darkest hour. The scripture reminds us that when the times grow darkest, we are not to despair, we're not to fear, we're not to worry, but we are to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Again, the sovereign hand of God at work in the lives of His people. The psalmist then moves to the consideration the contemplation of the glory that awaits us. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee, whether in the here and now or in eternity. The central focus of our lives is and ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a fad a few years ago, the consideration WWJD. And while this, in the minds of some, became trite, it became a byword. But nevertheless, it is a contemplation that ought to motivate the thoughts and the words and the behavior of the people of God, considering the example of Christ, considering what would Jesus do, and how he would react in these situations which we find ourselves if we adopt the mind of Christ rather than the human heart and the human mind. Then we will find ourselves encouraged, we will find ourselves edified, and we will find ourselves better able to endure these uncertain times with grace and with a realization of God's purpose even in these times. While many people have lost their jobs and their daily routines, for some it has been an increased time of family, an increased time of meditation and contemplation of the Word of God, refocusing our lives upon the real purpose, the true purpose of how we ought to live and what we ought to do in our daily lives. And thus, again, the good purpose of God for those who are His people. He will provide and encouragement even in such times. And he will use these times for his purposes, that his will might be accomplished. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Yes, there is an anticipation of a reunion with family or with other fellow believers who have gone before, but the deeper truth is that the first priority, the most important realization of heaven, will be that we will see the face of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this then, as He is the one who is the firstborn from the dead, He is the one who is the only begotten Son. And yet He has adopted us as His children. He has made us joint heirs with Christ. But the focus, the central focus of heaven, as it ought to be in our daily lives as Christians, is to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We have family responsibilities. We have duties to spouse and to children, to our employers, to our nation. But the deeper reality, the most fundamental focus of the lives of every Christian must be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When civil governments issue orders that are contrary to His word, it is our responsibility to obey God rather than man. Indeed, we are to recognize that God has ordained civil government. He has given them the responsibility of maintaining the peace, of protecting and preserving the lives of individuals, of rewarding the good and punishing the evildoer. But when the dictates of that civil government contradict the word of God, our responsibility is to obey the higher power, the Lord Jesus Christ, to realize that He is the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and thus to serve Him and Him alone at whatever the cost, at whatever the reaction or the hostility that might be experienced by those civil governments which have deviated from their ordained responsibility. They will be accountable to God for the ways in which they have failed their divine directive and their divine decree. But the people of God are commanded to follow God, to seek after Him, to seek righteousness and holiness, even as He is holy. And thus, to receive the blessing not of man, but of God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none on earth that I desire besides thee. And thus, again, Christ is our focus in the here and now, as well as for eternity. He will receive us into glory. We can anticipate that glorious commendation, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And thus, the resolution again of the psalmist here in this passage is that though his heart should fail, though he would suffer greatly, though he would experience these times of darkness and sadness and pain and suffering, nevertheless, God is with us. He will strengthen us. He will encourage us. He will help us. And He will deliver us safely through. We can thus be assured of the presence of God in our lives in the midst of our current situations, to know that whatever happens, He's still on His throne. He is accomplishing His purpose. He will give us His word to guide us and direct us in our pathway through these uncertain times. But we can also be assured that He is with us. He will bring to pass that which He has promised to do. And thus, again, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the uncertainty, we can have hope and we can have faith. For the Lord Jesus Christ is continually with us. It has been our focus in recent times to emphasize the centrality of Christ, not just in the books of the New Testament, but the presence of Christ in every book of the Bible. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, Christ is there, and He is active, and He is present. And He is present in the lives of His people today, as He was in the people of the past, the faithful ones, and He will remain with His people even unto the end of the age. We have His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And this ought to cause us to rejoice, to find a resolve to glorify God, to be content in whatever conditions He calls us to endure. Paul said that he was able, by the grace of God, that he had come to the realization that in whatever condition he found himself, whether in poverty or in wealth, whether in bonds or whether he was free, whether he was in health or whether he was sick, whatever his situation, he had come to the point where he could be content. And that ought to be our example as well. That ought to be our commitment, to realize that Christ is ever with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And thus, we should be enabled to go forward, to serve Him, to obey Him, to be a light in the darkness, that others, too, might find hope. And thus, again, we look to His Word, we look to the promises of the past, that we might experience His presence in the here and now, and that we might have hope in the future. If we are presently in times of ease, we must realize that, as in the lives of all human beings, there are mountains and there are valleys. There are times when we will not experience the light of His presence. The world may become more hostile. The physical condition in which we may find ourselves may deteriorate. We may not have the liberties that we presently enjoy. But nevertheless, God is with us. He will help us. And He will give us hope in those situations, as well as the promise for eternity, the promise of glory, the promise of His eternal reward. And thus again, we have hope in Christ. He will be continually with thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise that you will be continually with us. Help us to realize your presence. Help us to recognize your nearness. Help us to have that earnest desire to be closer drawn to thee, to have a closer walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to know that He is active and present in our daily lives, and to realize our responsibility to be an ambassador for His kingdom, to be the salt and light of the earth that you've commanded us to be, and to focus upon your promises and not our present predicaments. We thank you for your faithful presence, for your assurance and the indwelling, enabling power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.